There is no form of investing that is 100% passive unless you literally just turn your money over to somebody else and say, hey, you do whatever you want with it.
Welcome to the Quiet Wealth Podcast, where we talk about money mindset, how not to be broke, simple step-by-step strategies to conquer your finances, and the entrepreneurial spirit that will get you there. Your host, Camilla Jeffs, has been a student of money for over 20 years. She started out broke and has built real wealth for her family through steps you can copy. Camilla is on a mission to help thousands of people just like you build true financial stability.
Welcome to the Quiet Wealth Podcast. I'm your host, Camilla Jeffs, and I'm so happy that you're here. Here at Quiet Wealth, we talk about three things. We talk about how to be an awesome investor, how to level up your investing, how to have your own business to help you save on taxes and grow your wealth, and how to pass that on to the next generation. So if that's what you're looking for, you're in the right. Today is episode 56, and we're talking about active versus passive investing. So which one's right for you? Now, let's just be clear. There is no form of investing that is 100% passive unless you literally just turn your money over to somebody else and say, hey, you do whatever you want with it. I would not suggest that. I think you are the best steward of your money and you need to be involved. And we are looking to be like level up and get into the game and become a what I call a real investor. Now, instead of just simply a 401k investor, we're looking to take real control of our money and make it work even harder than it has in the past. And it's a very exciting path that's been so fun for me on my own journey, as well as hundreds of other people that I've talked to about this journey as well. Now, did you know that you can invest in real estate without headaches like tenants and toilets and termites? Oh, good heavens, termites are the worst. But it's true, right? You can get all the benefits of investing in real estate without any of the hassles of being a landlord. So what we're going to talk about today is we're going to figure out which one is right for you. Is active better for you or is passive better for you? And I'm going to ask you a series of questions that you can then ask yourself to figure out which one matches what you want to do. So when most people think of real estate investing, they think of buying a rental, right? So you buy a single family home, you find a renter, you collect the monthly rental income, and it sounds pretty easy. Like, what could go wrong? Well, let me tell you what can go wrong. The reality is very different, right? Even if you hire a professional property management team, you as the landlord still have an active role in the investment. Sure, the property manager can take care of day-to-day issues, but you have to be involved in strategic decisions, including whether to evict tenants who aren't paying. So the property manager will call you up and say, hey, these guys haven't paid for over a month. Do you want me to evict them or keep trying to collect from them? They tell me they're going to pay any day now. They tell me they have money coming, but they just keep don't. So should we just keep going? And that takes up headspace for you, right? You have to make that decisions. You have to file insurance claims when something unexpected happens. You would have to sometimes put in additional money to cover maintenance or repair costs. One of my properties that we had, single family property, suddenly the garage door stopped working and that cost hundreds of dollars. And so we're like, well, okay, I guess we didn't make any profit this month on that rental because we had to fix the garage. Now, on the flip side is you have passive investing. Passive investing are more set it and forget it types of real estate investments. In these types, you invest your money and someone else does all the heavy lifting. And the great part about it is totally passive as soon as you make your decision on which one you're going to invest in. Because you don't get any calls from the property manager. You don't have to screen any tenants or make those decisions about evicting them or not evicting. And you don't have to file insurance paperwork. You don't have to deal with the loan company, all of those things. But being a passive investor also means that you kind of give up some of your control in the investment and you trust someone else to manage the property and, you know, do the business plan on your behalf. So you have to figure out in your own head if you like to control. Now, my experience, I liked to control everything. So for 15 years of my real estate investing career, I did it myself, did everything ourselves. It was me and my husband investing in small single family properties, and we'd go and we would cut the grass. We were the landlords. I mean, all the things. And when we pivoted into investing in group investments and large multifamily group investments, it was a kind of a mindset shift for me to be able to get over this, oh, well, but I'm not in charge and I'm not going to make the decisions. And can I trust someone else with my money? And that can be hard. It definitely can be hard, especially when it's your first time putting money into a project and you're like, that's not a small sum, because typically these group investments are about $50,000 to buy into them. And so it was very nerve-wracking and worrisome for me, but I knew that I had to take that risk. In the last episode, we talked about risk taking and how you've got to take risks in order to get to the level and the life that you want to build. So now let's ask ourselves, right? Should you be an active or passive real estate investor? So I'm going to tell you 10 ways to help you decide which path is right for you. Okay, first way is think about tenants, termites, and toilets. So if you have dreamt of becoming a landlord and having tenants, making improvements, then consider that active investor. Otherwise, if the whole tenants, termites, toilets kind of makes you nauseous, you should go the passive route. Number two, time. Active real estate investments require a lot more time. And so you have to be able to put in that time in order to get that return. During a passive investment, it only requires your time up front during the research phase. So you'll be doing some research. So you do have to put in some time because you got to research the deal. You got to research the team. You got to research the market. So you know which would be a good deal to invest in. But after that, no more time involved for you other than maybe reading your updates every once in a while. And then if you have a question, reaching out with questions. Number three is involvement. Now, how hands-on do you want to be? For us, we chose completely hands-on. We managed the property ourselves. So we took the tenant request. We scheduled the maintenance. Heck, we did the maintenance and any other appointments. I mean, sometimes we had to hire a professional to go in, but typically we did it ourselves. Or does that all sound awful? One of my friends, she's like, yeah, I never do I want to invest like that. That sounds awful and really big trouble. And there's really, so maybe you want to sit back and let someone else do all of that. Number four is profits. Now with active investing, it's likely that you will be the only owner of the property. So you'd get to keep all the profits. And with passive investing, the profits are divided out among all the investors. Remember, we join a group and then we all share in the profits. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that one type of investment will get you higher returns than the other, because you have to compare one deal to another. So in my experience, the single family homes, DIYing, some of them had better returns than the passive investing that I've done, but some of them didn't. And they took just as much time as the ones that did get better returns. So when I found passive investing, I was actually kind of mad, because after I invested passive, I'm like, are you serious? This is getting me better returns than some of these other properties over here where I literally left my blood, sweat, and tears there. That was frustrating to me. But hey, we all learn. We live and we learn. Like, every experience is layered upon layer so that you can learn and grow. And that's how I always think about it. Number five is expenses. So if you are an active real estate investor, you have to plan to handle any insurance claims, any emergencies, any repairs, which might require additional money, right? If you're a passive investor, you just make your initial investment into the deal. And you typically don't have to put in extra money for anything else, unless the property has gotten into some, you know, lots of things happening with it. There's possibility that you could be asked to contribute a little bit more money into it, but you definitely don't have to be the one that has to pay for the new garage or for the, you know, the new renovations that are happening. Number six is risk and liability. With active investing, if things go south, you are personally held liable, which means you lose not only the property, but you could lose other assets. And that is risky. And that was something that I didn't learn till we had gotten into the game a little bit longer. We'd already have a couple properties under our belt, and then we had to go back and go through some pretty extensive organizing of LLCs to try and limit it, right? With passive investing, your liability is limited to just the money that you invest, because typically all the assets are held in an LLC. And so if anything goes terribly wrong, the sponsors, who are the ones who run the deal, the general partners, are held liable, not the passive investors. Number 7, paperwork. Now, active investments are paperwork heavy, all right? They have a ton of paperwork, from purchasing the property to tracking, purchase and rental agreements, bookkeeping, legal documents. All of those things happen throughout the project. With passive real estate investments, on the other hand, you typically sign a single PPM, which is a private placement memorandum. Those are the legal docs for it, to invest in the property. You don't have to fill out lender paperwork. You don't have to file for insurance. You don't have to do any bookkeeping. So the paperwork is minimal. But again, if you want to be an active investor and you like paperwork and you like all of those things and managing and tracking and organizing, awesome. Number 8 is the team. So as an active real estate investor, you're going to need to build your own team. And by team, I mean brokers, right? Or real estate salespeople, property managers, contractors. You need people like that to help you in this investment. As a passive investor, you rely on shared expertise of the existing deal sponsor team, right? The sponsors are experts in that market. They typically already have a team set up to manage the property. So they already have all those things in place and you're just joining them. Number 9 is diversification. So with active investing, you yourself have to be an expert in the market. For us, that meant we couldn't invest anywhere other than our own backyard. At least that's what we felt like. We couldn't go out of there because we didn't know markets that were outside of where we were investing. Now, if you want to invest outside your local area, you have to research the market. You'd have to find a boots on the ground team. You'd possibly need to visit the area. But with passive investing, this is so cool, it's easy to diversify across different markets because you don't have to start from scratch with each market. You're just investing with teams that have already taken that time to research those markets and build strong local boots on the ground. Number 10 is taxes. As an active investor, remember, you're responsible for the bookkeeping, meaning you have to keep track of the income and expenses, but you also need to work with your CPA to make sure you're properly depreciating the value of the asset each year so you can get those really great tax returns. As a passive real estate investor, you don't need to do any bookkeeping. You just get a Schedule K-1 every spring for your taxes, which shows the income and losses for the property. So no need to track the income and expenses throughout the year. Of course, we send out the financials for you so you can read through those, but you don't have to track them and turn them into your CPA. If you really want to roll up your sleeves and get involved in all the aspects of being a landlord, then active investing just might be perfect for you. But if your time is limited and you have money to invest, you might want to consider being a passive investor. And if you're hoping for kind of a middle ground option, there are things like turnkey rentals, there's buy and holds. They might provide some control without the huge time investment. Whenever you are looking at this and trying to figure out which path is right for you, be sure to factor in your unique situation, goals, and interests. When I have these conversations with investors who set up calls with me, it's really fun to talk to them about, well, what's going on in your life, right? And we talk about kind of their unique situation. Do you have kids? Do you not have kids? How old are they? And do they need a lot of your time and attention? How's your W-2 job going? Do you have a W-2 job or do you not have one? Do you have a lot of time that you could put into figuring this out? Are you excited about figuring out all the new things? Or are you just looking for somewhere to invest your money that's going to be safe and diversified to help you grow so you can spend your time doing what you want to do? And so that's the kind of things that we do to discover whether or not active or passive investing is right for you. That's what I have for you today. Please share this episode. After all, this is group investing, and we need to share the education to share the wealth. Thanks. Bye for now.
Thanks so much for joining us on the Quiet Wealth Podcast. If you want more, head on over to CamillaJeffs.com/podcast to get the show notes and dive into other juicy episodes. While you're there, be sure to grab the free guide to building wealth. And if you know a friend who is struggling with money, please send this episode to them. Let's share the wealth in as many ways as we can. Until next time, wishing you much success.